You are listening to Nonsenseology.
All right, I'm good, I'm ready. I got my funnies out.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Nonsenseology Episode 8. Around the table, as always, we have Austin, Kevin, and myself, Zach. We can't wait to slide in an iRobot reference for Austin to talk about some kind of sci-fi topic and say how we're all in a simulation. And finally, for both Kevin and Austin to give me a hard time throughout the whole episode. With that being said, let's get right into it. Kevin, I think you're wanting to take it away first tonight.
Yeah, let's get it started. So my topic this week around the table is home ownership. So we are all in interesting stages in our lives, upper 20s, and we're all in the different stages of home ownership, being that I don't own a home.
I'm the furthest along, no big deal.
You have owned a home for a year and a half or so, and Austin is brand new into the home ownership game.
Yep, got me set up.
He doesn't own it.
I do own it.
He does own it.
What? I own it.
He has the deed that says so.
Yeah, I signed the papers.
So,
and I took on the debt, all right?
So I'm just curious to see, the good, the bad, for all our Nonsenseology listeners out there, with some tips, some things you wish you could have done different, or what you want to do moving forward. Just let me hear your takes on homeownership.
Well, there's a lot of it depends on the market you're in. And
a lot of paperwork.
Yeah, well, and I mean, for me and Taylor, I feel like it's still like this. I mean, I could be wrong, but when we got our house, it was a seller's market, not a buyer's market. Mm-hmm. So you're having to make these decisions super fast.
Very quickly, yeah.
Like, as if you're, deciding on whether or not to get ding-dongs or Twinkies. It was like,
you had number two or number one.
You got to jump on it quick. Yeah, and that's something I think a lot of people don't expect.
Dude, it was so stressful because, it was like, I don't know, it was say 8 a.m. I thought I was just going to have my regular day, go to the gym, go to work, and, have my dinner, go to bed. Well, 8 p.m. rolls around, and here I am about to buy a house.
Yep.
And, like Taylor and the realtor were saying, we had to make a decision that night or else we were probably going to lose a house.
So get outbid or by someone.
Yeah, we had to make an offer. And, just depends. So, obviously, if you're in a buyer's market, it's a lot more relaxed, laid back, and you kind of can pick out your options of what you want your house to be. And not that I don't love my house. I do love my house, but it's definitely impulse where I feel like that's what just stressed me out the most, is that it's such a big purchase, but mm-hmm. being in a seller's market is...
It's a tough one to be in.
Well, yeah, and you're basically impulse buying a house, because if you want it, you got to.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, overall, I love where I'm at, and I love a house, so, I don't regret it, but...
It is stressful, and that was actually a problem that I ran into whenever I was first. I'd been looking at buying a house for about a year before I actually went and bought a house, but I'd gone and looked at this one home that I really liked, and we were hoping to...
In Henderson?
No, not in Henderson. It was actually on the east side of Evansville. I can't remember the name off the top of my head. But anyways, the house we were looking at, which luckily with this whole pandemic and everything going on, luckily but unluckily, it's more of a buyer's market than it is a seller's market. You've been able to find some properties for really good value. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I didn't know because we bought our house. I mean, I guess like
2019.
Well, yeah, it's like That's 6 months before shit hit the fan. Yeah. So.
But I had been looking at buying houses, and the place that I went to first. Because I was ready to go, but I wasn't entirely ready. I mean, whenever you're going to buy a house, you got to be pretty pretty serious about getting ready to, be ready to go. The first place I went to look at, the same situation happened, and I couldn't, the house was like $27,000, and per square foot, it was going for like $23 a square foot, and the houses around that were going for $120+ per square foot. So if I bought the house, which with my background in construction, I've always wanted to get a fixer-upper, but because I wasn't like just ready to go, I wasn't able to get that house because someone else had went and bought it and Because I still had like another 2 or 3 months on my old lease before I could get out of there.
And timing's a big thing too, especially if you're in the situation where I'm in, where you're renting. Also, you have to think, you know, is it going to be close to the end of your lease? Are you going to have to pay to get out of the lease? You know, that's something you have to think about when buying a house as well, is timing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And come to think about it, I can't even remember if our lease was ending when we...
I thought you guys had moved out a little early.
Maybe like a month early.
Yeah,
did you guys I think it was a little early.
Yeah, I think you're right, because actually now you say that, because the part of the agreement we made with the current owners was we had to extend our lease. That's what it was.
There you
because
go.
We had to pay month by month rent, which was a lot more expensive.
Right.
But the deal we'd made with them was because they made us wait because they were getting a house built in Jasper.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually paid for our rent until we got to move into the house where
we're
now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, but little segue, talking about houses and stuff like that. There's actually a great show on Netflix that highly recommend watch it with your girlfriends or, you know, your significant other. It's called Marriage or Mortgage. It's a great show.
You know, I think I saw an ad or a commercial.
I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah, they basically, like, it's kind of like Love It or List It, except it's merit, like, you choose marriage or mortgage. They come in and they have, there's like a wedding planner and then there's a realtor, and they try to sway them one way or another to try to spend their money on having a wedding or buying a house. They don't have money for both. So, I mean, it's pretty interesting, but, yeah, definitely a good show to watch with, like, a girlfriend, boyfriend, etc.
Significant other, yeah.
Sounds like that's something you're into, and you're saying it's more of like a girl thing, so, you know, trying to cover your
tracks.
He's
trying to recoup
but it's
the
cool.
whole bath
Anyways,
thing.
Yeah, not, the I'm whole not, bath thing. You still haven't recovered from that one.
I'm not, I told you I love, like, Chrisley Knows Best. I'm not afraid to admit the kind of shows I like.
I know, buddy. I know it.
So, is there anything, so, you two also bought different types of houses, whereas Austin bought one where it's more of a fixer-upper type of house, and there's some work he's wanting to do with it, versus you bought a house in a subdivision that there's, I mean, other than some just interior changes and stuff, like it's, and you added a fence too, but it's, you know, I mean, it's a ready, you know, to go type of house.
Yeah, and that almost says the difference between me and Austin is that Austin's way handier than I am, and I am not. Therefore, I definitely wanted as close to turnkey of a house as possible.
Well, and that's something that my grandfather owns Heads Construction, and that is something that he's always done. And that's actually where he makes his main source of income. Is
Heads Construction. If you need your roof redone, Heads Construction.
Yeah, that's right. When you think of roofing, siding, windows, all that good stuff, who do you think of?
Heads Construction.
You're dang right. But, so, I mean, he's always bought houses and flipped houses, so I knew I wanted to buy a house that was, one, easily affordable, so my, you know, mortgage payment isn't sky high. It's
reasonable.
Yeah, it's reasonable. But on top of that, the house that I've bought is a duplex. So, you know, I own the whole place, but I rent out one side of it, and with me renting out that side, that actually covers my mortgage. So while I'm increasing my property value, you know, I've rebuilt the stairs, I've painted the whole house, I've redone, I've pretty much redone the whole backyard, I've built a fence, built a fire pit, now I'm going to fix up the basement and finish that off. I mean, there's all kinds of work to be done around here, and that's stuff that I just really love doing, really enjoy doing. And honestly, for any of our young listeners out there, if you're, you know, 14, 15, 16, go pick up a hammer, go do something, go, you know, go learn as much as you can. Even if you don't go into a trade, it's still great having that around the house. I mean, this fence,
yeah,
right
at least,
now,
at least know how to hang up a picture.
Something, just make everything, you know, how to read a level. But like this fence that I built up was, you know, wood prices are very high right now. I built this fence, a wooden fence, privacy fence. I built it for $400, whereas, you know, most people would pay... if you have somebody come in there and build you a wooden fence, like, oh, dude,
yeah.
Easily, triple that, easily.
Yeah, me and Taylor just put board and batten in our entryway. And I don't know why wood prices are so high, but yeah, definitely
because of the pandemic, all of your steep slope material, which is basically all of your construction
material.
Are you going
to tell me there's a shortage in wood? Is that what you're going to tell me?
No, it's not necessarily a shortage in wood.
I'm sure, but the production... Which,
by the way,
sidestep
from this. I still see, and I don't believe it for a minute, I still see signs that says we are in a coin shortage.
We were never once in a coin shortage. They were just not making coin there for a while, but there was never a shortage.
Kevin works with the banks. He would know a bit about that.
Talking about
home ownership and banks, the one thing I was not ready for was all of the closing fees.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I figured, you know, maybe a couple $100, whatever. I was ready for that. But you gotta have to have... You just gotta
negotiate, dude.
Okay, you can negotiate, but still...
No, the previous owners of our house, they covered our closing costs.
Well, that's good. It sounds like they have a lot of money, especially if they're having a house. Like, the house you moved into is a very nice house, and you guys have two incomes paying for it and all that.
Yeah, you know what just blew my mind is that they were building the exact same house in Jasper, and they were from Jasper. But they decided to try out Newburgh, didn't like Newburgh. They only lived in that house for like 3 years, and then they said, let's go back to Jasper, and
yeah, they built so, that exact house. So they have some money to cover that.
Yeah.
But whenever I went to the, something you have to be ready for, but what I think is ridiculous is the closing fees. I mean, I had over $5,000 in closing fees, and whenever I was looking at the list of the different fees, it made me so mad. The very first fee was closing fee. You go four bullet points down, the next fee, and the closing fee was already like $250. Yeah. The next one is the final closing fee. And that one was also like $150, $200. And then there's like eight or nine different filing fees. You have like a state filing fee, a federal filing fee. And all of those were like, well, one of them was $8. But the rest of those were $50, $75, $100. That all adds up so fast. It's ridiculous.
And let me tell you this, too, because my girlfriend's a closing agent and does, like, is the one that when you go and you sign all the stuff, like, she's the one that does it. Someone's got to put that money back into her.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, I mean, I know closing fees are extremely high.
Now, do you think the like those kind of fees depend on, like, what bank you're with and all that stuff, or no?
I think it can vary, but...
But there's some fees that I'm sure are standard, and depending on the title company that you go with, too.
Yeah, like, I think a lot of it is some... I don't know, man. I think it's some bullcrap.
But it's something that you don't know. You know, people talk about mortgage and insurance, but not a lot of people talk about the home, like the closing fees and stuff.
Yes,
like
exactly.
Realtors' fees, if you go the realtor route, like there are a lot of excess fees that you're not paying for. Sometimes
I was really worried about making the jump from an apartment to a home because I was like, man, now I'm going to be paying mortgage and water and all these utilities and mm-hmm. stuff. But honestly, I have saved so much money. Moving.
You'd be surprised in apartment complexes what like additional like as opposed to the going base rate for homeowners.
I'm gonna be a little Ron Swanson here, and first off, I think government's stupid and should be dissolved, in the words of
Ron Swanson.
Mr. Swanson. And I think taxes are just ridiculous.
Taxes are very high and they're only gonna get higher.
Yeah.
I mean I agree with some.
There's a part, I know you haven't seen it, but there's a part where they're having like this public forum.
The filibuster?
And there's this random guy that's like, I don't pay my income tax. And then Lizzie's like, oh, well, you probably should. And he's like, well, that's none of the government's business. And you don't know my face. Good luck finding me.
And he's I like think right
that, yeah, he's you could just blatantly see him.
I think taxes are a necessary evil. I mean, it sucks having to fork over money like forcefully. And I think the worst part is that the system is very easy to abuse.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of people that take advantage of these taxes that are being paid, you know. And I'm not going to get into all that, but that is, like, I'm fine with paying taxes, but I want them to be used properly and I want them to be used for the right things.
By the way, can either of you explain to me what's the purpose of IRS existence? Because I basically view them as just like the villain of the country.
That's a whole nother topic.
Yeah, is it basically
someone has to regulate the taxes?
That's what I'm saying. Is it like they just like track down people who are like, you didn't pay all your taxes?
Yeah. That's pretty much what it is. It's pretty much like the tax police, and you have to have somebody to do that, because if you don't, it's hard to have.
Was it Paula Deen? Was that the tax
There's several celebrities that have, yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people. But it's hard to have, like, if you just had the police and all you had was the police. It's hard for the police to govern things like overseas trade, politics. And they can't. You have to have different forms in the justice system to help cover these different types of needs.
Okay, but if they're going to, like, send just me a letter, for example, and they just say, hey, you owe us, $600, and that's it. It's like, can you at least give me, like, an explanation of, like,
There is a way, like, when you owe the IRS $600, there's a reason why you owe the IRS $600. So there, and especially, it made it a lot simpler when, like, President Trump had, like, changed up the tax brackets, because every year, the average American, based upon the income that you make, is supposed to pay some sort of an amount, and it's a tiered rate. So the more you make, the more that dollar amount goes. And there's a chart online that you can literally look up that has the new rates on there. So, like, where you get a tax refund is, say, if that going rate is $3,600 and you paid $5,000 in taxes just from your regular, like, deductions from work and stuff.
So my refund is because I paid too much in taxes?
Bingo. And that's where you get the $1,400 tax refund is from.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Why? I wouldn't even want to mess with that then. Just make sure I don't pay too much.
And the problem with that is there's so many people in America that it's hard to regulate how much exactly people are. Because the thing is, every person in America makes a different dollar amount. Because even the people, like, you could make $20 an hour and your coworker could make $20 an hour. But based upon your tax situation,
marital status and all that
dependence.
Dude, this is like calculus.
Yeah.
Right. It is complicated.
And
it's
someone's
got to
regulate that.
Something I don't completely understand is, how is it somebody that makes more money than I make, how are they, I mean, I guess depending on the type of income you're making, you know, like if you're making cash, but whatever. But somebody that, like, say, you know, I get paid through my company. Somebody gets paid through their company every week or whatever.
Yeah.
How is it that they could owe money? That doesn't make sense to me. Because aren't the taxes just taken out of your check weekly anyways?
Yes. So how it works is, again, with that, when you start a job, a regular, just paycheck job, you're filing what's called a W-4, I believe. Yeah, a W-4 is the term. So that's going to tell the IRS how much you're going to be taking out of your paycheck. Now, what people do is they can claim extra things like extra deductions, and no one's really going to check that until it's tax time. And then at tax time, when they're like, okay, you had this much taken out in taxes, but you were really supposed to take out this much, that's where you're going to owe the IRS money.
Okay, that actually makes a lot of sense. I've always wondered that.
This just sounds like double work, is what it just sounds like.
Yeah. But someone has to.
It's like, why are they sweeping all this under the rug until, like, the beginning of the next year? It's just, and then.
What do you mean?
Yeah, what do you mean?
I don't even know if I know what I mean.
Okay, that's fair. I've been there before.
Well, and here's a good... I think I kind of see where you're going with this. Why do they wait till April and then now April, like, everyone, like, focuses on the tax thing? Is because they have to... Every source of income that you make, even the interest you make off your checking account, is paid by taxes in some
way. I mean, I guess what I'm about to say may not even make sense, but I feel like in my head right now, it makes sense. But if I put it out of existence, maybe, like, wow, that sounds dumb. But I'm going to just say it anyway. So it's just like, you go all year and the government's just like, we don't know if person A is paying too much in taxes, person B is right on track, and then person C is not paying enough in taxes. And then it gets to the next fiscal year and they're like, okay, well, he owes us refund. He was right on track.
That's not the IRS's problem. It's your responsibility. It's almost a certain fact, as long as you... If you're a steady paying job and you don't make interest from any other, like, accounts or things like that, win a bunch of money and pay tax or whatever, like, you just standard get your paycheck 52 weeks out of the year and whatever, you
just be regular Joe.
You will not owe the IRS taxes unless you've done something to fluctuate that number. And that goes back to the point of, like, filling out that W-4. The IRS isn't going to necessarily check if that W-4 is right. But when it comes April in tax season and they look and you go to file your taxes and you only got taken out $100 in taxes when you're supposed to take out $3,000, they're going to be like, yo, you owe us $2,900. And then, you know, person A who got taken out of
$5,000. You know what? You know what? If that ever happened to me, I would want to, I would basically be like, hey, $2,900, let me see that new road you're going to build with that. Let me watch you build that new road.
And that's a thing.
Let me see what you're using that money for.
So then you have to look into things like, so if you call 911 and they answer, someone's got to pay for that, and it's the taxes. If your house catches on fire, it's the taxes. To keep the electric going for the stoplights, it takes taxes.
It is a necessary evil. Paying government,
it is a necessary evil. Yeah,
paying government agencies is...
Yeah.
You know.
It would be really cool if they had like analytics on like, hey, Zach.
You couldn't even, I mean, there's so much it goes into that.
But like, hey, Zach, thank you for contributing this year.
Here's what your tax dollars went to. Yeah. Well, that would be nice.
That would be cool. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like you should be able to look into that. I don't know if you can or not. I feel like you should
I'm sure
be
there
able
are ways
to.
Like general consensus. Like,
because then that would, I feel like me as an American citizen, if they said, thank you, Zach, for paying X amount of dollars in taxes this year. You helped.
Fund three schools.
You helped buy three new police cars. Or I'd be like, dang, you know what? I actually feel a little bit better about paying taxes this year. Instead of, well, you paid this in taxes. Here's your crappy check back.
Oh, actually.
See you next year.
You can apply for what is called a federal taxpayer receipt. And it basically your federal taxpayer receipt is a new tool that shows you where your tax dollars are being spent. And this is according to TurboTax. So I guess if you really wanted to go figure out exactly how much of...
Who do I have to call?
TurboTax. Go and apply online.
Call TurboTax?
Yeah, I don't know.
But TurboTax isn't a government...
They provide the knowledge for it. They have their hands with the IRS.
No, I want to talk to someone who works for the government.
You want to talk to the president IRS.
Because
something.
I want to
call the IRS. I bet they'd send you something.
I want to kind of like, you know, throw them around with my emotions a little bit. Because
I feel like
that
should
them.
Be public information. Like knowing exactly
and
where
sure
your money
is
going.
I'm sure it is. It's just more so where are you going
to go. Yeah, like it said, is you have to apply like, for it. Because it's not like, something everybody's generally interested in.
I feel like
in.
I would call them.
Should be.
And they'd be like, there's another person on a freaking know where their money.
Oh, dude, it's probably there's probably millions of people that call in asking that.
I feel like these IRS people would be exactly like, when you have to go down to the BMV or whatever that's called.
Yeah.
Dude, it's always older ladies, and they're always in the shittiest mood.
That's a good thing too. BMV taxes.
I've actually had the last time I went to a B&B was a very pleasant experience. The lady was very kind.
I
actually
like it.
Well, which one was that? Because I'd like to go to that.
We are way off topic about the
home
ownership thing.
Okay, so going back to home ownership. Sorry about the detour, everyone. You know how Zach gets sometimes. Okay, so
blame it all on me.
Well,
three takeaways, three positive things or tips from each of you about home ownership that you'd like to pass on to our loving audience.
Look at your home as an investment. Definitely be planning on ways that you can upgrade and increase the value of your home before you purchase it.
Okay.
Okay. Before I actually say what was your question? I had a good point. And
okay,
I've seen it on social media, and I think it's a good point, is that and let me try to just bear with me here. I'm going to put it into words the best I can. Basically, I've seen like on Instagram and Twitter that it doesn't make sense to people that they're throwing away money each month on rent that's like, say, $1,000 mm-hmm. each month, or whereas they could easily get a house where they're spending less on the mortgage.
Sure.
Well, there's
did that make sense?
I think there's a bunch of things that play into that. One.
Well, I know there's a bunch of things that play into that, but still, it's just like...
It's easier said than done for some people.
Yeah, I had a roommate with...
I think where
I'm
trying to get is that the system is broken.
Yeah,
I think that's right.
So your tips.
I think that was my end goal in that. But my tips is
realistic tips.
Yes, a great investment if you can't afford to put a down payment on a house, which I believe is like around 10%. Absolutely do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you're just throwing away money with an apartment or condo, etc.
Make sure you have plenty of money saved up, not just for closing costs and for
the down payment.
The down payment, but make sure you have at least two, three months of mortgage saved up before you go and jump on it.
If you haven't already, you need to create a budget on everything. I mean, if, like I said, if you haven't already, on what you spend on groceries roughly, you know, just everything down the line, what your electric will be, sewer, water, blah, 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 adult stuff. So, yeah, basically just make sure you have a good chunk of money saved up.
Speaking other of than utilities, shop around for utilities. You know, you can definitely find some good deals, like whenever you first sign up with a company. A lot of different companies will give you big discounted rates. Going in with Spectrum, big shout out to them. I'm getting like 200 megabytes and whatever my download speed. I don't understand all that tech talk, but I'm only paying like $34 a month, which is pretty cheap. I mean, I was paying $70 a month at my apartment, whereas that was a lot. And this my internet here is way faster, so I think I was going through Wow or something like that.
I'll just say, I don't like to get my financials out, but I'm paying more than you for internet.
How much are you paying?
Wait. Are you just internet, or are you like, you got like a bundle? Do you have a landline? Just joking. I know you don't have a landline. I'll go through AT&T. Did you ask a question?
I'm going to get a landline now just because.
My dad still has a landline.
My parents do too.
So, any more tips that y'all can offer in regards to home ownership? Do's, don'ts, you know, things like that.
I mean, like I said, if you're in a buyer's market, I mean, even if you are in a seller's market, don't just grab the first house you see if you're not truly going to love it. At least like it a decent amount, because you're not going to be happy with your investment if you move into a house you don't like just because you had to feel like you may have to make a decision really quick. So,
okay. Cool.
Well, what about you, Kevin?
I don't own a home. What do you mean? What about me?
He's asking because he wants to know.
Oh,
well. You mean asking me for I don't own a home?
Yeah, be prepared to have expenses, like random expenses, you know, different kind of renovations and stuff like that.
I will say my one tip that I can offer to buying a home or that process, you know, not only you mentioned shopping around for utilities and internet and things like that, shop around for title companies too, because you know your title company can make a big difference. It's obviously where you're going to close in your house at. So you know, in addition, if you choose to use a realtor, shop around for realtors who's going to be able to work with you the best, and then also shop around for title companies because there are a lot out there.
Get your loan through a credit union, not a bank.
Not a bank.
I feel like that was a good tip, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great one.
I think I made a great contribution to tips.
Yeah, you
so. And if you are listening out there and you're in the Southern Indiana, you know, tri-state area, just call me up at Evansville Teachers, ask for Kevin Griffin. I'll be happy to hook you up with someone personally to do your mortgage.
I like all these little side ads that we're putting in here.
It's real too. It's not like, you know, these people aren't paying us or anything like that. Like, it's realistic, you know. So it's a good thing to know.
But, all right, guys, on to my topic for the night, which we easily can talk about, something we love. For the listeners that I feel like they should at least gotten a hint by now that this is something all three of us share a love for, which is the gym. Kind of just ask some questions. Each of you answer personally about your gym.
So we're going to do a gym Q&A?
Gym journey. Sure. Okay. Sure, we'll say that. So I'm going to just first off ask, and either one of you can answer first, what got you guys, what initially made you want to even step foot into a gym and start doing cardio, lifting weights, whatever it was?
Wait, what was that C word?
Cardio.
You ever done it before?
Oh, yeah. I used to do it all the time.
Cardio. Used to. Great. Yeah. When's the last time you've done that?
Just answer the question.
You want to go first? You want me?
Sure. So starting into the gym, I wrestled all through high school, so I was always watching my weight, and I was always in, I mean, not that I was like big or strong or anything like that. I was very scrawny, but, you know, I was always cut up and in good shape. Well, then come college, I've always put on weight easily. It's not like I was just naturally super cut up. Come college, my freshman year, I started partying and all that good stuff, which I didn't do in high school.
Freshman 15.
Yeah. For me, it was...
Yeah, you
It's about freshman 50.
You upped the calories big time, and then you cut out all your physical activity. All the exercise,
exactly. I didn't do anything. And, you know, being an anxious person and dealing with depression and all that stuff, that added to it a lot. Like, I was very down on myself, and I was struggling with my weight. I went from weighing 145 pounds coming out of high school to weighing 196 pounds after my freshman year of college. So,
good Lord.
I was getting chunky. Yeah, I was pretty big. And
you lard bomb?
You know, and my family and I have always been the type of people that we talk a lot of crap. I mean, we just talk crap to each other all the time.
That is.
You know, and they would always, you know, poke fun at me for being chubby and whatever. And not that it hurt my feelings, but in the back of my mind, I was like, I'm going to do something about this. Like, I don't want to be out of shape like this.
Did you ever just snap and say, Mom, Dad, do you have any way of, other way of communicating to me? Jesus.
Absolutely not, dude. My family and I are super, super tight-knit, and I mean, we just talk crap all the time. That's just the way we show each other. It didn't hurt my feelings. It didn't hurt my feelings, but in the back of my head...
Yeah, it caused him to think.
Yeah, it caused me to think. I was like, dang, dude, I need to do something. Got the wheels turning. Yeah, it made me think, like, man, I need to change something, because if I don't, then eventually I'm going to end up being freaking 300-400 pounds.
Did you have to dust the cobwebs off?
I did. I had to change my mind, but not only that, but my mom was also out of shape and unhappy with her weight and all that stuff. So we got to talking and decided, hey, we're going to start working out. And we went to the YMCA, got signed up, had no freaking clue what we were doing at all. We got signed up for this thing called
Active. Did you have weightlift and wrestling?
We did, but it was more like explosive movement kind of weightlifting stuff. Like the most we would shoulder press was like a 45-pound plate over our head, but we would do like 100 reps, and then we would do sprints. And
oh, did you ever do what was called like the school bus, where you held out like a 45 plate and then like
steering wheel? Oh my god, yeah. That's awful.
Yeah, they used to make us do wall sits and do that. Wrestling at Memorial, not to brag or anything, but like we placed fourth at Disney Duels my senior year. We were second in the state.
You're just boasting, you know.
I wasn't the best wrestler, but the team I was on was really freaking good. So, you know, we busted our asses back then. But anyways, my mom and I both wanted to get in shape, and we signed up for Active Tracks, because we had no clue what was going on, gave you the amount of weight you should be doing, sets, reps, all that good stuff. And from there, you know, my love for working out just grew. For the first 3-4 months, realistically, me and my mom had to force each other to go. Like, we didn't want to go, but if I didn't want to go, she'd be like, we have to go. If she didn't want to go, I'd be like, we have to go. And we spent about a year and a half working out together with each other every single day.
Oh, then, that's cute.
Well, I mean, by that point, we loved the gym, and our schedules were getting a little wonky because I was in college, and, you know, my mom's my mom, so she has work and all that good stuff, and other kids to take care of.
She only had time for Austin, huh?
You're dang right. I am her favorite. But sorry, Chance and Keegan. But yeah, so that's how I got into the gym, and we've been working out ever since. My mom went from weighing like 180 pounds to she's at like 130 now, doing really well. I went from 196 pounds of fat. I dropped back down to 170 pounds and was pretty solid. And then, you know, I've been kind of bouncing around about 180-ish.
And you were lean right before COVID hit this time?
I was going to do a physique competition. I was going to do Indiana Muscle. And I was bulking, and I got up to 190 pounds again. But it was muscle. Like, I was pretty, again, solid. There's a little fluff there. But then I went and started dieting and cutting really, really hard, and I got all the way down to 160 pounds, but was like ripped up. And and then the whole COVID world thing happened. Down. Yeah, the world got crazy, and now I'm a little fluffy again.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all. I feel good.
So my journey, a little bit different. So I was extremely skinny growing all through high school.
Super skinny. Can't even explain.
I mean, bean pole skinny. And I actually just had my 10-year reunion this past weekend, and almost everyone was like, I can't believe that you look totally different. And I mean, I put the work in
and
to
get
there. And
then you instantly won the award for most changed.
Yeah, 100%. But, so I started getting to the gym, it's probably about 5-6 years ago, and I was just half-assed doing it. I had no idea what I was doing, just kind of going in there and just doing some curls or a little like leg.
You did a little. You were doing a little monkey see, monkey do. Right?
Basically, yeah, just some crap that I, you know, kind of picked up or knew. You know, I knew what a bench press was, and at that point, I could do like a 25 little thing on each side, and improper form and all that crap. But it was probably about going on 4 or 5 years now, maybe. I was talking to my boy Austin about it. We were at a little Christmas family get together we had, and talked to him. I was like, "Yeah, you know, like I started kind of working out, and I was starting to put on some actual weight, and I said I want to, you know, gain some muscle with it too." And he was like, "You know, come on down, let's get a lift together at the YMCA." He was like, "You know, I can get you a guest pass, and you know, try it out a couple times if you like it, get you a membership." And I signed up probably about a week later, tried it a couple times, and ended up loving it and sticking it ever since. But I think that, and it's become such a big part of my life now. I mean, it's obviously changed the way I just go about doing everyday things and just my overall health. I'm definitely in the best shape I've ever been in. But just knowing that, you know, if there's anything that I can say about...
You're at your pinnacle.
Yeah, of course. No, I'm nowhere near my pinnacle yet.
That's one thing that kills me, and I hate to think about it this way, but like, I'm strong. I'm stronger than I've ever been. But man, dude, there's no shape like wrestling shape, like combat sport shape. Like dude, I could run a mile in like 6 minutes.
That brings
flat.
Up a good point too, because like I used to be cardiovascular shape. I used to be really, you know, like I didn't have a lot of fat on me. Like I used to be able to, we'd do cardio for probably at least the first 45 minutes to an hour of basketball practice. I got out there and played a little pickup game at the Y 2-3 weeks ago. I was still gassing. I'm incorporating cardio probably 3 days a week in my workouts, and it still gassed me out. So like you said, like that physical shape, like combat sports or like, you know, team activity type thing. I mean, it's just high school sports in general. Yeah, it's a different type of shape.
You're definitely...
Now, moving some weight, I can throw a little weight around that. I mean, there ain't no doubt that.
Yeah, I can't. I could. I mean, back in high school, I weighed between 130 and 145 pounds. So I wasn't the biggest dude, but, you know, I could just keep going forever. And not no more. You give me about 30 seconds of running, and I'm sitting there gasping.
But I will say, and I think y'all can agree with me, too, that, you know, there's all these fitness influencers and fitness pages on there. If there's one thing that I can give advice to anyone that's even remotely interested in going to the gym or just started or was in it and then left because they got, you know, weren't seeing any results, it's 100%, you know, a marathon. It's not nothing you're going to see on the quick side of things. You may see some quick changes, but when you get in for several years like the three of us have, you know, you those drastic changes are few and far between. But it's the overall growth is what you're looking for. So just being realistic with your expectations, setting those small goals to knock out to a big one, and then just knowing that, you know, make it part of a lifestyle. Don't feel like, you know, it's something that you're going to see instantaneous results, because it's definitely one that once you get fit or you get strong, that you want to maintain that.
It's funny you say that, because I was going to ask if you guys, when you first started, just say for the first span of the year, did you have trouble staying consistent? Like, did you ever find, like, a block of time you were going every day or just 5 days a week for 3 months, and then you found that you hit like a roadblock for 1 month and you didn't really make it? Anyway, so what I was saying was that was there a period of time, like you say, you went for 3 months and then you hit a roadblock for a month there, and you were, I don't know, you went like maybe twice a week, or there was a week you just didn't find the motivation to go? Just because obviously maybe you're getting frustrated with not seeing any results, or just something like that.
I mean, yeah, I go through those parts every now and then, but I think that if there's one thing that COVID taught me, I mean, there was a time where, I mean, the gym doors were locked. We were having to be forced to work out at home and improvise just to maintain any type of strength that we had worked so hard to get. So it's really not taking the gym for granted, knowing, you know, now that it becomes such a big part of my lifestyle. And when, you know, that big shutdown came at this time last year, it, you know, it changed the way we do things and how we live our day-to-day lives. So, you know, any day I think, I obviously incorporate my regular rest days in just for natural growth and rest for the body. But
man,
you may
rest a little too much.
No, I've got a strategy behind how I do it, and everyone's different, but it's just whenever I think, oh, you know, like, if I don't have a valid reason as to why I'm not going, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to go just because I don't really feel like, I'd rather go home and just watch TV or go, you know, play PlayStation or something. It's like, There was a time that I was dying to go into the gym and could not go because it was against the regulations. I don't want to ever get to that point again, and I get my ass up and go to the gym.
I think, I don't know, man. You have to have a pretty good balance. Like, whenever I first started working out, I'm still very consistent. I still work out 5-6 days a week. But I didn't miss a beat. I was always at the gym. I was at the gym probably 6-7 days a week for about 2 or 3 years. But I saw a lot of progress within the first 3 to 6 months of me working out. And the biggest part of that is staying consistent. And whenever you're in the gym, I think the biggest tip you can give to anybody, even not even just new guys, but if it, leave your ego at the door. Don't sit there and go into the gym. Just lift with your head, you know, be smart about what you're doing. Make every move you make sure you have a purpose behind it.
Yeah, don't go in there trying to prove something to everyone else. Just prove something to yourself.
Yeah, but not even that. But I see guys that go in and have been working out for years that have made zero progress. They don't look any different. And that's because they don't do the movements right. They don't squeeze. They don't contract whenever they're doing them. They don't do the full range of motion. They don't do the proper science behind workouts. Yeah, there is a science behind working out. Getting in the gym is great. Just being there is awesome. And kudos to you just for going. But if you want some real progress, some real results, take your time to do the stuff properly. Don't sit there and just play around. Don't go in there and just throw weights around. Don't think you can curl a 50-pound dumbbell if you can't curl a 50-pound dumbbell. Don't sit there and swing with it.
Yeah.
You know, you got to start on the 15s, then go up to the 20s, go up to the 30s. Work your way up. Like Kevin said, it's a marathon, not a race. And all you're doing by sitting there throwing this stuff around, you're just setting yourself back because you're not going to see any results. It's not going to happen. And then all that's going to do is discourage you. If you want results, leave your ego at the door, lift slow, make sure you're doing every movement, every single rep perfect to the best of your abilities. And if you're not right, if you don't feel like you're doing it right, go and ask somebody. Go and ask the dude that's bigger than you. You know?
See, then that's where pride kind of comes in.
It does. You gotta be humble and you gotta swallow your pride.
Yeah, that goes with leaving your ego at the door. Yeah. Leave it all at the door, man. This is the people in the gym. I'm telling you this. Any dude you go to in the gym would love to share some knowledge.
Oh, God, yeah.
Anybody in the gym. It doesn't matter who it is. If you go and you ask somebody for some help in the gym, they will love to help you.
And to tie into that, too, you know, I used to be the guy that would always go around and ask questions and stuff like that. And now I've gotten a couple years of knowledge into it, and there are occasions where people will come up to me and ask me that I make sure that any opportunity I get that someone comes up and asks me, I make sure, even if it's just as simple as bicep curls, I tell them, you know, this is the goal, this is how you should do it. If you're doing it like this is what you need to improve upon, how to do the correct form, and also why we're doing it. What's the reason we're doing this specific exercise, and what's going to be the overall goal? So that when they have that all-around knowledge, you're not just moving the weights. You're learning why and how that affects your body, too.
I want to throw a pretty profound, I guess, kind of quote. It's not going to be exactly, obviously, because I'm not very good at that. But there was something I saw on Instagram that I thought was just a great fit, especially for what we're talking about. It went something along the lines of making fun of a fat person at the gym is like making fun of a homeless person for being at a job fair. Mm-hmm. We're all just there for the same reason, obviously, just to get in better shape, to better ourselves.
And absolutely.
So I thought that was
I love something seeing new nice people at the gym. Oh, that's something that I try and encourage. You know, if I see somebody new in the gym that looks like they're really trying, and I mean, man, it's a good feeling, and I think it's good to encourage them. You don't want to sit there and go out of your way and, like, you know, be bothersome or anything, but it's good to give them that little head nod and, like, let them know, like, hey, you're killing
you're
me.
You're accepted
yeah.
here.
Like, and you yeah, know, you know, like, good job. That's what I'm talking about.
Because most of the people...
Oh, you do that to everyone besides me, right?
Duh.
I've known you for too long, bud.
Most of the people that go into the gym, just from my perspective, it's a very intimidating place, especially you get some decently sized guys in there, you know, throwing around some weight. You get some real fit people that are, you know, like doing the equipment that you have no idea what how to do. It can be a very intimidating thing. So it helps, you know, those people that go to the gym and are, you know, like the bigger people going in there, the fit people, you know, keep an eye for them people that look like they're struggling and just be mindful. I wouldn't say go up there and start telling them what to do and how to do it. But just if you ever, you know, see that they're looking for assistance, be that person to extend that helping hand, because if the situation was reversed and you were the one that was struggling, everyone started somewhere. No one, besides how Austin would think, no one woke up or walked out of the womb and was just jacked and swole.
Yeah, so, right. I was little.
Chance, just keep that in mind. Your brother's a different story. Both your younger brothers are a different story.
Well, Keegan's built more like me, but he's been working out since he was like 2 years old, and that's just because he's had two older brothers that have been into it since he can remember. You know,
yeah.
Keegan says, whenever I talk to him about it, he's like, he doesn't remember a time that I didn't work out.
Exactly.
You know, that's how long I've been doing it, and I was not always big, dude. I mean, I've got pictures of me being just, you know, just an average looking kind of...
Oh, I mean, there's a good memory from like a high school graduation party, man, where you and I are just average Joes
Joes, man. And it takes a lot of time. I'm not like a huge dude or anything. And something else is don't be intimidated by guys that are in there, that are into their workout, you know? I mean, I'm like the nicest guy ever. But if I'm sitting there getting ready to go into some deadlifts, in my head, dude, I'm the baddest guy on the planet, you know? That's what you got to do. You got
to
be
able to... I thought you just said leave your ego at the door.
There's a difference between leaving your ego and in your own headspace to where you're about to set a goal.
Yeah, and being prepared for something. Like, if I'm going to go and try and lift my max, I'm not going to jump up. Like, I'm not going to try and deadlift 700 pounds, but...
You're just deadlifting and you're just... Equality!
That's right.
We're all equals here. But no, I mean, you know, when you go into big lifts like that, you know, like, you're in your own headspace and you know that you're going to move this weight. There's no, well, I hope that I can get this up, or I hope I don't need a spot. It's, you will move this weight.
And see what I've been doing when I lift, like, especially with bench, flat bench.
He's got 135 on there and he's like, you can do this, Zach. I believe in you.
This is what helps me, especially if I'm trying to, just going for... very small amount of reps is in like 235. I don't go into it saying I'm gonna get 4 reps. I just don't even tell myself I just go, you know, because I feel like if I tell myself I'm gonna get 4 reps, I hit 4 reps, and then after that I just hit like a brick wall, because in my mind I hit that goal. Does that make any sense?
Yeah,
I get what you're saying. Yeah,
so that's just something, I mean, that's something I do that I feel like helps me in the gym. But
what else you got?
It depends on what you're programming.
I was going to ask you guys pet peeves in the gym.
People leaving weights out, people not wiping down the machine.
Said not wiping down the equipment.
People putting weights in the wrong place.
Yeah, I was going to say the dumbbell rack. Dude, I don't even mess with it anymore. If someone sticks like a 30, obviously where the 15s go, I just put my weights down and just keep walking.
Part of the problem.
So
yeah, I always fix the weights, man. I don't know, it just aggravates the crap out of me. I hate it when people put their plates in the wrong spot.
Yeah,
my own pet peeve is like whenever I load plates onto a machine, they all have to be facing the same way.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, yeah. The plates have to look the same. Yep.
Yeah, they all have to be the same type of plates as well.
Yeah.
And that's definitely a mental thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe, I guess mental is OCD. Would you say it's probably OCD?
I don't know. I'm personally just worried that maybe one of those, like if I use two different...
Oh, so you think a 45 and a 45, but they look different, they could weigh a little different,
they
possibly?
They could weigh slightly different. Yeah, that's what I worry about, so...
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know if this is a pet peeve, but and it goes along with you saying leave your ego at the door. I cannot stay, and I'm thinking of a particular person, don't know their name, don't care to know their name, but when they're doing something completely not even related to abs, and they just, say they just got done doing some curls, and they walk up to the mirror and just lift up their shirt, and just to look at their abs and then go back to doing biceps. It's like, dude.
Keegan Williams.
Yeah,
Keegan, Chance for sure. Williams. Let me say the names loud and clear.
I mean, Chance is pretty modest.
But Keegan, the dude's ripped. So much. I mean, if I had the six pack too, I mean, I'd be doing the same, to be honest with you.
No, I mean, it's, I don't know. This particular person too, it's just, they're your...
I mean, I do it on occasion, so what are you trying to say?
When you got it, you got to find some effort.
I'm saying when you got it, flaunt it, you know?
Yeah. Any other questions
you got? I get that to a certain extent, which is obviously why, like, I just wear more fitted shirts and that sort of thing. When I wear shorter shorts is because I've been trying to grow my legs and I want to show them off. But, you know, you're not supposed to go into, at least the gym we go to, you're not supposed to go in there shirtless. So it's just like, dude, just keep it on.
Yeah. You know? Well, oh, I know exactly who you're talking about.
I mean, I
won't name drop, yeah. But I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, dude.
He's a heck of a guy, though.
Sure, whatever.
He's like super jacked, so he's allowed to. It makes sense.
Well, from, you know, what I've caught wind of him, you know, he could drop off face this earth. I wouldn't care.
Oh, my Lord. Anyways.
Oof. Well, I guess just, I haven't really answered any of these, but basically for me, the gym, put a summary on it for me is obviously when I was in high school, I hung around a lot of wrestlers, and not per se then, but I perceived them then as being a lot more muscular, a lot bigger than me. I was very scrawny, and they gave me a hard time all the time about it because in my friend circle, all of them went to the gym except me. So I finally had enough of that, decided I was going to obviously make a change in my life and do that, which I'm so glad I did because it was ended up being one of the best decisions I could have ever made. For one big fact that I've always struggled to feel like I've fit in somewhere. And I feel like the gym has done that for me where I actually feel like I fit in somewhere where I actually share a big common, I guess big common love for something. And it just feels so great to walk into the gym and know about, I don't know, at least 50% of the people there. And it's a community. So
yeah, it's a good thing about our gym.
But yeah, what else do I got? So as far as like ego lifting, so just say this person is 17, 18 years old. And I'm saying this because I saw it and I didn't do anything about it because I knew that they were just ego lifting. When you see someone in the gym that is like deadlifting with terrible form, mm-hmm. and you know that weight is way more than what they're actually capable of, do you say something to them or you just let them be a jackass?
Do they get the weight?
Yes, but it's terrible form.
Okay, they could probably deadlift more if they had good form. That's something a lot of people don't realize about mm-hmm. deadlifts. If you go in and you do a deadlift and you round your back,
yeah, they look like their form look like,
yeah, you're taking it was away a dog shit. So much support. Power, yeah. If you put your hips up underneath you, dude, you'd be able to lift so much freaking more weight than if you sit there and bend over and just rip your back in half. I mean, my deadlift's fairly good. I deadlift 520 pounds, and I weigh like...
Yeah, I knew a guy that deadlifted and didn't do correct form. After he was done deadlifting, he was 5 inches shorter.
I believe it.
Yeah, that's not
true. Really tear yourself up. I've got a pretty powerful deadlift, and one time I was deadlifting...
He said, where did all my discs go?
One time I was deadlifting 365, and I injured myself because I had improper form. Yeah, so I mean, if you use good form on your deadlift, man, you'll be able to lift way more than if you don't use proper form.
But yeah, that's about all I had for. I mean, we could go on and on and on, and I'm sure down the line somewhere we're gonna have gym talk part two, and
of course, so it's a big part of our lives. Yeah, but Austin, you said you had something to kind of tie
in. Yeah, to kind of help, you know, simmer things down and close us off. I'm not going to go into anything too crazy tonight, but
Yeah, no sci-fi tonight is what I was getting.
So. Yeah, so sorry, bud. I hate to break your heart there, but I listen to a lot of podcasts, and one of the podcasts that I've really recently listened to is the Joe Rogan and Francis Ngannou podcast. He's a UFC fighter.
Sure, you could have said Ngannou Bread, and I would have thought that was a real person.
He's from Cameroon, and just listening to his story, it's really awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's a very inspirational story, and not just for people that are wanting to go up into growing to UFC or going to some kind of combat sport, but for anybody, regardless of what you're trying to do. I mean, this guy grew up in Cameroon, was very impoverished. He was in poverty,
Pause. Beep. Where is that place you just said?
Cameroon?
Yeah.
It's in Africa.
Okay. Continue. I just wanted to know where we're at geographically.
Okay. So he grew up in Cameroon, and this guy had never fought before and had never had any kind of actual training fighting-wise in his entire life. Well, he would always tell people, he wants to be a boxer. He wants to be a boxer. He wants to be a boxer. And everybody was like, oh, you're crazy. That's crazy. He worked in the salt mines while he was in Cameroon. And this man, for 14 months, I believe, worked his way to... he worked his way from Cameroon for 14 months, made his way all the way to France, where eventually, his career as a fighter took off.
And but he had a side job as a baker.
What?
Let him finish his story!
Yeah, dang, quit interrupting, Zach. So, the guy, traveling from Cameroon to get to France, there was times where he would be stopped by the military, on his way to different locations. Like, I think he went from Cameroon to Nigeria, and then from Nigeria, he worked his way over to Spain, I believe. And then from there, he traveled onward. But during these travels, there was times where they would be trying to cross sections of the ocean, and they're using these little paddle boats. Well, they would get caught by the military, and the military police would basically... just beat them up, rough them up, steal from them, and then they would take them.
This guy traveled oceans in a paddle boat?
In a paddle boat. But that's not even the craziest part. The military would take these people, beat them, throw them out in the desert, and they would just have to find their way back. There was times where they would be in, little Ford pickup trucks with, 24 people squished into the back of these trucks. And this was to, journey across the desert, which would take days on end, 3-4 days. But all these people would have, because there was such a limited space, they would have a bottle of water. And that's what would have to last them all the way.
Jesus, dude. That makes me never want to complain about anything ever again.
Oh, dude, but on top of that. And all these people would have would be a bottle of water. And just a single bottle would have to last them 3-4 days during this whole journey. So not only do you have to avoid the military, but you're also dealing with dehydration and starvation. And there was a point where they hid out in the forest for a few months. And again, they're just hunting, gathering what they can to survive, to get by. But I think the craziest part of this whole his whole story is that at one point, whenever they almost had a run-in with the military, the two people that were on this little dinghy, there was six people total, the two people that had paddles got caught. So the captain of that dinghy, along with Francis Ngannou and these other two refugees, he said, we're not turning back. We're not turning ourselves in. We're going to paddle with our hands. So they paddled across.
Good Lord.
Yeah, dude. They paddled across this ocean.
If this is not the next big movie, I will be.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. This is a very recent podcast, but he paddled across the ocean with his freaking hands. That's wild. Or maybe not the ocean, but a big sea, whatever. A large body of water by hand is wild. And then the man goes on to start training, and within 6 years of fighting is now going to contend for his second belt at in the UFC. That's just absolutely nuts. But anyways, what I was wanting to get into this, get into these kind of inspirational kind of stories, is there anybody from modern times that you guys can think of that has an interesting story like that, or... something that just piques your interest in them?
Zach, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
You go ahead. I'm gonna stew on mine here.
So, and you better have. You got 4.5 minutes, and I'll be done. So you better have someone in 4.5 minutes. So, kind of going, you know, with the fighting background too. One person that has really had an interesting comic story and has attained massive global popularity, but then also, you know, knows where his roots, know where he came from, and was able to give back. Is
I already know who you're gonna say.
You? How do you already know? Let's see if you can guess. Zach, who am I talking about?
I know who you're gonna say.
DJ The Rock.
No. Manny Pacquiao.
Thank you. So my person is Manny Pacquiao.
Well, your description. Yep. I knew it. Your description was like it felt like
this
it was
boy now. Towards
Dwayne I already knew it. He's Filipino, bro.
Yep. So Manny Pacquiao grew up in dirt floor houses in a small too. Province in the Philippines. Was soaking wet, 98 pounds when he started boxing. That man has worked his way up through multiple weight classes. Not only has worked his way up into those weight classes, is an 8th division world champion in boxing. He has had one of the top 5 careers in boxing history, for
and
sure.
And only one questionable loss.
Yeah, that at that. And is just, now, granted, no one is perfect by no means. You know, there may have been times in recent history that maybe he's made some comments or things that he shouldn't have, but we all have. But in the overall spectrum of things, you know, the man has given millions and millions of dollars back to the Philippines, not only in the form of, you know, monetary and building schools and towns and feeding people, but also at the same time, he's now a congressman as well in the Philippines.
Oh, that's awesome.
And is giving back in the ways of judicial government, you know, kind of putting your money where your mouth is. And just stating that, you know, he can go in and be this boxer, and he gets looked down upon a lot just because, you know, his English is very poorly spoken, and his, you know, he's been hit in the head probably 100,000 times. But
and he doesn't talk like Mike Tyson yet.
But the fact that he's been able to do so much, and he's such an influential person, you know, worldwide, not just even in the country of the Philippines. But he is a very influential person just from the good, noble acts that he does. And he's a very humble person. You know, he's got, you know, a nice house and a nice family and, you know, has some nice things. You know,
house?
Gold watches, cars, singular. Things like that. Yeah, just one house.
Wow.
And, you know, lives a nice lifestyle, but at the same time, you know, gives so much millions of dollars back to people and just the good acts that he does. He's really one person that is a big influence in my life just because he's had so much power that he could, you know, retire, but he keeps fighting because he enjoys what he does. But then also, too, he uses those winnings to kind of give back to millions of people and makes a positive impact in so many
I would love
lives.
To hear, like, more. I'd love to get into a detailed description of his background. That'd be interesting.
Who you got, Zach? Time's up.
So, you know, someone who's been really inspirational in my life former President Donald Trump. I'm just joking. I couldn't go any further with it. You're basically asking me to, like, say an autobiography of a person that, and I really don't, like, know a whole bunch of celebrities in depth.
It doesn't even have to be a celebrity. It could literally be anybody. Anybody with any kind of influence.
Well, I'm gonna just keep it with, you know, a name that people are gonna know. And he didn't take it, so I'm gonna take it. And
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah. Well, and because
from humble beginnings.
I mean, it
wasn't his dad like a professional football player?
A wrestler.
Yeah. And
WWE. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Professional wrestler. Just. I mean, yeah, everything everything he came from, everything he's about and stands for. I guess it's things that I'm inspired to be. I guess you'd say. And,
buff, bald, and a millionaire. Is that what you're leaning towards? Or?
To achieve.
I mean, not what he actually was, because I mean, he was obviously a college football player. He was in and out of jail. He came from. I don't know if he was born in Hawaii, but that's obviously where his roots are. And
he's Samoan.
Yeah.
I mean, just to come from where he has, being in and out of jail and just having a rough beginning, and then obviously now being probably, if not the most iconic actor of
modern
time. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And
he seems like a genuine guy, too. Mm-hmm. Like, he seems like he'd be, like, he's actually.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but he seems like if you, I don't know, you saw him on the streets of Hollywood or wherever, he would actually like stop and take the time to talk.
Shake your hand.
Yeah, talk to you, and versus, you know, these other Hollywood actors that would probably just not even bat an eye at you.
Bro, he probably has to have so much security around him, even though he's like a beast. Like,
I was going to say, I mean, he's a beast, but why would he even need security?
Because, man, he is so recognizable, he couldn't step out of his house. Like, he would just be sworn.
That's why he has his own Iron Paradise, because he can't work out at a public gym.
Yeah, I believe that 110%. You know, we need to get him on the podcast sometime to start making some phone calls.
Yeah. God, if only. wouldn't that would skyrocket us into popularity.
That would be wild.
Go from underground to up there to Joe Rogan
experience. Yeah. Real quick. Boys, you got anything else for tonight around the table?
I think that pretty wraps it up for us.
I didn't have too much to say on that besides the it was just cliche, kind of a
short topic anyways.
It's just good to know, you know, who's influential in our lives and things like that from a celebrity status.
And I mean, he's not, I mean, not only just a movie star, actor, he's an entrepreneur. He just released an energy drink. He has a production company. He has a clothing line with Under Armour, and
he has his own tequila.
He has his own tequila. I mean, good God, doing all these movies and TV shows on top of all that. I mean,
and just to be fair, I just want to throw out another person who I think is also very influential and somebody that not just a lot of young women can look up to, but a lot of young men should look up to as well.
Hillary Clinton.
And I'm going to butcher her name. But Ayaan Hirsi Ali, she's a human rights activist, but she has, and if I'm not mistaken, she's from Somalia, and she has an incredible story as well, so she's somebody to look into.
Geographics? Too.
Zach, I don't even know what you're saying anymore. But
You said where she was from. Where? I don't...
Somalia!
What continent?
Well, pick up a map.
Yeah.
Find it.
Find a globe.
Yeah, that'd take forever.
Anyways, I think that about does it for us, boys.
All right, guys. Well, we're glad that you sat in on another episode of Nonsenseology with us. Always grateful, always thankful that we have listeners like you to bear with us through the tough and the rough and the knowledgeable and the not-so-knowledgeable times. So, Kevin, as always, we'll plug those socials.
Of course, just be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. It's Nonsenseology Podcast. And then also just be sure to, if you're listening to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. And also be sure to hit subscribe. You get them weekly updates when the podcast episodes drop every Monday morning. It's a great way to start your week. And then also just be sure to share the love. And we appreciate all the followers on Instagram and the shares and the repost and getting the word out. It's always greatly appreciated. And then just a little shout out to my Warzone group, Tomahawk, Jeff, Caroline. Just give a shout out to them. But other than that, that's all I got this week.
All right. Catch you later.
No.
I didn't say. All right. Catch you later. How about that?